You take your Bibles, please. We're going to talk today about the faithfulness of God. And by the way, on prayer day of prayer this Saturday, there will be a praise time here in the auditorium from 7 to 8. So about two or three meetings going on, staggering through the other men's, and there's some praise time in here, 2, 7, 8 o'clock. And then the meetings begin at 9 of prayer. Don't feel you've got to come for the whole time. Let me tell you something about the day of prayer. You can come the day of prayer and never pray one prayer verbally. I think some people are afraid to say, if I come the day of prayer, someone's going to ask me to pray and I'd collapse. No one's going to ask you to pray. You just sit there and you can talk to God in your own heart. No one is asked to pray for anybody or in any way. It's all voluntary. And I want to encourage you. Don't stay away because you're afraid. And don't stay away because you're unspiritual. You come and just sit there. If you want to stay 10 minutes or stay 15 or an hour or half an hour, just come into something in your life to pray for, something that you know about the needs of others to pray for, and for the life of this church. So I encourage you to come. It's a privilege. One reason they have such a wonderful prayer turnout over in Korea, there are many, many reasons. But if you had communist Red China sitting on your borders at Lincoln, Nebraska, with how many divisions of troops that could burst through at any time, you might feel a little more in need of dependence. Our dependence is just as great, though there's no red communist thing in Lincoln, Nebraska, on our border. They're just a little bit farther south than that, below Mexico. That's where they are. So a word to the wise, but be sufficient. We want you to turn, please, to Psalm 89. We're going to talk on the faithfulness of God. Psalm 89. Reading from the NIV. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare your love stands firm forever. Now we sing thy steadfast love ceases not. That's where we get that text from. Also the other chorus, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you established your faithfulness in heaven itself. You said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David my servant, I will establish your family line forever and make your throne firm through all generations. This was fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of David. The heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness too in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies above can compare with the Lord? Who is like the Lord among the heavenly beings? In the council of the holy ones, God is greatly feared. He is more awesome than all who surround him. O Lord God Almighty, who is like you? You are mighty, O Lord, and your faithfulness surrounds you. Heavenly Father, say what I don't say, go beyond what I say, make thyself real to my heart and to the hearts of the listeners. Lord, we refuse to come and make a sermon an academic exercise. We refuse, O Lord, to come into thy presence and just learn something like we would learn a math table or how to do macrame or cross stitch. Lord, it must go beyond our minds to our hearts. And we thank thee, we want to grasp and perceive with our spirits your faithfulness to all generations. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you this morning about the faithfulness of God. We have been speaking to you about the other attributes of God, his holiness, his goodness, and consequently, we must always remember that these are not compartmentalized attributes of God, as if he were faithful over here and holy over here and good up there. That God, without diminution or dilution, has all these attributes together in one unitary being. That he's loving and kind and pure and just and holy all at the same time, never diluted, never less in one place than another place, that wherever God is, he's all God at all places at all times. That he's not faithful in Lebanon and just in Syria and holy in America, but the other countries don't get anything else, never, never. All of God's attributes are found wherever God is. We have not yet studied his omnipresence, which means God is everywhere at the same time, without dilution, without being less in Chicago than he is in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork.
So that whenever we talk about God and as we accumulate in our minds these attributes of God, they are in a continuing collage of the whole picture of God. And so today we speak about His faithfulness. His faithfulness. What does that mean? Now let's look at the definition of faithfulness. The faithfulness of God means He does not change. Is there anybody that has not changed from 5 years ago? A few more wrinkles, a few more gray hairs, unless you're using Grecian formula. If you keep using it, you'll turn your hair green. I know, I tried. And nobody likes green hair, unless you live in Ireland. He does not change. Forever the same. For Him to change would be a demotion. Change to what? It'd be down, not up. He's already up. You can't change God. He's already there. He's perfected. He does not change. He will not change and need not change. And He is what we call immutable. And all of these attributes intertwine with one another. Immutable, God is immutable. Taboo, what does that word mean? Immutable means He does not change. Closely tied into His faithfulness. He's not going to change. We don't want Him to change. The only person who wants Him to change is the devil, and God's not likely to hear that one. He does not change. I mean, He's the same. He doesn't get old. His knees don't get wobbly. He doesn't look for Cain. He is the ageless one. And we have the ageless Christ for a Christless age. Kingdoms rise and fall. Administrations come and go. Scandals hit the news lines and get out of them. Others push their way to the top. He stays the same. Top billing. God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He is faithful. The faithfulness of God means He does not change. Secondly, it means that all His promises and words are true. All His promises and words are true. I don't know there's anybody in this room, including the man speaking to you, who has always spoken the unadulterated truth all his life. Nobody. Has anyone even spoken the total truth all their Christian life? No. Somewhere we got exaggerating. Somewhere we got carried away in a meeting and there were 500 there, we said, when there were only 300 there. Well, that's not true. It was an exaggeration. And not even a holy exaggeration. Evangelistically speaking, they used to call it. Evangelistically speaking. It's an exaggeration. It's the first cousin to a lie, let's face it. I mean, how big was that fish? I mean, how far away was that pheasant when you hit him? Come on now. All His words are true. God's the only one I know who doesn't have an eraser on his pencil. All His promises are true. Number three, He will fulfill them by guaranteed action. Now, God, what's it saying, Peter? God is not slow concerning His promises as some men count slowness, but is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And if it seems like God is slow on the draw, it's only because He knows when He takes out His pistol, it's all over. And He's giving people time to see His faithfulness, His goodness, His kindness to the sons of men, saved and unsaved. He sends down His rain on the just and the unjust, the cursing farmer and the believing farmer. Both get the blessing of the rainfall. Both draw their crops from the same soil, the goodness and the faithfulness of God. So when we talk about the faithfulness of God, we understand He does not change. All His promises and words are true. And He will fulfill them by guaranteed action. He can make it happen. His timing may be different than ours, and will be in many cases. But when it's all said and done, when we stand before the throne of God, you'll search this book through and you won't find one thing He said, but that when He shows us then, it will have all totally come to pass because He's a faithful God. Now we walk by faith and not by sight. And we see enough in our faith walk now to know that God answers prayer and is faithful. And faithful. I do not know many things that God permits in this life. I do not know why He allows some things. He knows. And God never asked us to understand what He's doing. We have trouble repairing our car or fixing our, balancing our checkbook, and he runs the universe. Nobody in this room could take care of feeding all the birds in just Omaha, Nebraska. Nobody in this room could take care of feeding the birds in the Midwest, much less the world. Nobody here can turn the heating up or the cooling down for one state, only God Almighty. And He's put the sun in the heavens for faithfulness and the stars in heavens for His faithfulness. He's faithful. And He keeps His word. And when He told Noah, I gave you a big splash this time, took it all out, going to start over with your family, don't be fearful. Can you imagine, let me ask you, if God hadn't made the promise, how do you think they would have felt the next time it started to rain? You just got off the ark. Whoa, not again. I mean, you had to be nervous. But for the promise, hear me, Noah, I'll put a rainbow in the sky and everybody in this room has seen a rainbow. Listen. The CIA didn't arrange to have that hung out there. God said, I'll put that promise in the heavens and I will not destroy the earth by water again. And that's the reason you can know that this earth will never be destroyed by water. Because the faithful God promised, and for us poor earth beings, gave us a splash of gorgeous color in the sky, a prism of water through which the sunlight breaks through, and giving us the full arc of colors. And God says, remember, I'm faithful. Faithfulness of God. Faithfulness of God. He doesn't try to become faithful, He is faithful. Now I want to point out, if I may, three areas. If we get to them, we'll take them as we get to them. And there are many, many areas where God is faithful. Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. Paul writing to the Corinthians, newly converted, basically, he was the founder of that church and led them to the Lord. God, who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. King James says, God is faithful who has called you into the fellowship of His Son. There, nobody would be sitting in this room born of God if there had not been, excuse me, a faithful God who called us into fellowship with His Son. I mean, is there anyone in this room who has never had a holy nudge? Is there anyone in this room who has never had an inner pull and you didn't even know what it was? It was the Holy Spirit trying to bring you to repentance. Is there anyone here who's never had a troubled conscience about making things right? Is there anyone here who's never had a call to come to the Savior and you didn't understand it maybe, but it was interior? It was a drawing in your heart. It was a sense of conviction or hunger pulling you toward God, toward Jesus. You may not have known anything. You may not have had a religious home period. But you sense something, that there's a God, there's more to life than what you have. Or you've sat in churches like this where the word is being preached. And with that, the accompanying work of the Holy Spirit to convince and enlighten and to draw you and disturb you and discomfort you or make you hungry, give you drawing toward the Lord. He's been faithful to call, to pull, to draw. That is the faithfulness of God. And how many years did I go through the pull and the draw of God who was calling me into fellowship with His Son? And I would jerk off my shoulder and I would pull my head and I would go do my thing. But He was faithful during all those years when I didn't want to hear it. How about you? Is there anyone here who's never had such a call or nudge? And I will stand, if you will, please, I will stand and speak to you and encourage you from the goodness of God that if you've never had it before now, this is the time that God is faithfully calling to you through His precious word by human speech to bring you to repentance and faith, because God is faithful who is calling you, present tense on, calling you into the fellowship of His Son and into repentance and faith. Faithfully. Count up how many times you jerked away your head and went that way. Count up how many times you grieved away the Holy Ghost, didn't even know who it was. Now you do. God is faithful, who has called you into the fellowship of his Son. What a privilege. Because if he stops calling, nobody's coming. Except the Lord draw a man. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw, not drag, draw all men unto myself. And the Father faithfully gave the Son, he faithfully died, and the Spirit faithfully calls. The call of the Holy Ghost. You're not listening to Murdoch preach when you feel that. That's the second preacher from God. That's God's Holy Ghost coming to call you from within. He accompanies the word, goes to your heart, and he does the calling that no man can give. I simply announce it. He does it. I help you to identify it. And every one of us here can say who know Christ, he faithfully called me, and I finally repented and gave myself to him. I finally broke into through to the light and the knowledge of what was happening in my life. He faithfully stayed with me through thick and thin, and I'm here by the grace of God. Does anybody out there know what I'm talking about? Will you say amen?
Amen.
That's the faithful call of God. Secondly, he's faithful in and during temptation. Faithful call to service, to salvation. He's faithful during temptation. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. No temptation has seized you, NIV. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Now please notice the faithfulness of God in calling. God is faithful who called you into the fellowship of his Son. Secondly, God is faithful. He will not let you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. Now, right up front, no temptation hath seized you or taken you, but such as is common to man. Do not tell yourself a lie and believe it. Do not sit out there or stand out there or live out there and say to yourself, well, if people really understood my temptations, I mean, if they just knew my appetites, if they knew how I felt, they'd understand why I just have to break over and sin a little bit. If they just knew that my sex drive is stronger than someone else's, that's why I have to be a little loose with my wife relationships here. Because you don't understand. Listen, every temptation spoken about is common to man. And any temptation you had is common to man. And therefore, we sometimes try to justify ourselves. So, well, if you knew the kind of pay I got, I mean, the rest of the guys down the plant, they get the right kind of a salary. I don't get paid what I'm worth, and therefore, justification, lie to self, believe it. I take stuff home from the shop. I take stuff home from the office. I mean, I don't get paid enough anyway. Tell yourself a lie, believe the lie, then justify the action. You don't know with this stuff. I mean, I get paid so little, and this stuff is just lying there. And I mean, I really, and if I had these great temptations, and so I just have to cave in. No. It all starts in the mind right here. That's why Paul says in Philippians 4, whatsoever things are true and pure and holy and lovely and honest and beautiful, think, legizomai, reckon on and think on these things. Because what you think on makes you feel, and what you feel about you do. Please notice that the sentry placed at the guard door of our minds is truth. The first thing Paul says, whatsoever things are true. That's the first one. Every thought coming to your mind must show its ID card. It must show its true identity, and you say, is this true or is this a lie? When it comes to your mind. Well, I don't get paid enough. Who says so? You? Maybe you don't, but the point is the boss is the one that decides. You may feel that way, but in truth, you took the job, but you didn't like the job, but it didn't pay enough. Don't take it. And truth must be hard and clear and right up front. Otherwise, everything else will be slipping into your mind. Well, I was raised in a poor home, so I'm no good. Well, that's interesting. Abraham Lincoln was raised in a log cabin and became the president. Maybe that was a good start you got. But if you buy the first lie, you go to all downhill from there. I came from a poor family, so I'm no good. I'll never get anywhere. Who said so? Didn't stop Abraham Lincoln. Do you see? You might say, rather, I was raised in a poor home, but that gives me an understanding of people who don't have much at home. I can relate to them, and that's an advantage. That's the truth following truth. Well, my wife's kind of cold, so I just have to flirt with the secretary. Who says so? Well, you don't know my drives. I don't care about your drives, whether it's overdrive, underdrive, or any other drive, frankly. You let that thing happen, you give a little wink to the secretary, and she gives you a wink back, and the chemistry starts to flow. Stop it right there. And if you think you can play games like that, you'll go right down the tube to the fornicator's or the adulterer's bed.
Touch times?
No temptation taking you, but it's common to anybody. Everybody has to face it the same way who loves Jesus. Our Lord Jesus had every temptation you had. He was tempted in all points like as we are, in principle, in fierceness, and unremitting pressure from the evil one. He's the only one that never said yes to it. We really never know the full pressure of temptation because we on occasion break over and say yes, and so there's no more pressure after you say yes. But Jesus never said yes, and he's the only one that understands the full, unremitting power of temptation because he never found the relief, yea, wicked relief, of saying yes to it. And he understands. No temptation taken you or me, but such as is common to man. But what? That conjunction of conquest. But God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you bear. And you're saying, well, how come I fall? Even fall so frequently. For the same reason I or you or anybody else falls, because at the point of temptation, I did not appropriate Jesus Christ to be my righteousness. That's why. Now, when temptation comes to me, invariably the first thing I want to say or do is say, Jesus. I mean, not, now temptation go away because my grandfather was a preacher, my father was a preacher, and I'm a preacher, my son's a preacher. No, no, come on. Make a difference. I have to come just like you. When temptation comes to me, Jesus. That's my first word of appeal. What does Paul say about the armor of God to be put on in Ephesians 6? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood and principalities. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places. And when you read, he seated us in the heavenlies in Ephesians 2, you ought to get out your concordance. It'll take you about 5 minutes. Look up the word heavenly, and you'll find that the word for heavenly is also the same word for high. The word in heavenly place is used about 6 times in the book of Ephesians. And it's a place of seated victory with Christ. It's a place of being raised with him spiritually and seated with him in the heavenly places. It's also the place of warfare. We fight against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Same word. Therefore, said he, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. And that is just to trouble me because, so what's this standing? I said, we're wrestling, and you're standing, but you're not standing when you're wrestling. Stand, you start off in this position, then you're down to a referee's position, and you're scrambling on the mat. How in the world can you stand? And then it finally dawned on me that we're talking, and Paul was talking about Greco-Roman wrestling. You have that in the Olympics. There are no holes below the waist. You're not going to be diving for the legs. It's all upper body. And the purpose of it is to try and throw a man, just throw him down. You don't have to pin him. You just have to throw him down. And you're getting points by throwing him down. You stand, you throw him down. Stand, Paul says, and stand, Paul says, and stand, Paul says. Don't be thrown down. No upper body holes. No. Stand, therefore, with the belt of truth around your waist. Stand. And even in the evil day, which is a day of deep temptations, stand and having done all, stand. It's a triumphant wrestler. Now, wow, how does this man stand? Stand with a belt of truth around your waist. What's true that you need? What's the first truth you're going to need? What's the first truth you need in temptation? And you pick anyone you want. The first truth I have is Jesus is Lord. Jesus. You were tempted in every way such as I am. There's no temptation that'll ever touch me that didn't hit you first. And you came through unscarred. And by your spirit, you've come to live with me. And I therefore have what's true around me. Christ is undefeated. Temptation never got a yes out of him. He's given his life for me, and he's given his life to me, that I may live off the righteousness of Christ. So Paul says, put on the belt of truth. Whatever truth you need, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Any truth you want, get some truth in your head right off the bat. Lord, truth. Paul says, put on the belt of truth. Take some truth you know is true. Whatsoever you think, make it true. Having the breastplate of righteousness, the impeccable, sinless, flawless essence of holiness and righteousness that God has, he has given to you and me as breastplate of righteousness. His righteousness is that behind which I stand, as it were. That Christ who's made into righteousness, he is the one that can face that temptation. My wife's way past this now, but when we first married, she did not like to go to the door and talk with salesmen. I do not know why, it was just one of those things. When salesman came to the door, she said, you go. I don't want to talk to him. I said, just go tell him no and thank you. It's the full of brush. So tell him, brush him off. Let him go. Who cares? But she had a little thing about that, and it was an easy enough thing for me to go and say, hi, what are you doing today, Bill? Oh, hello there. I got some brushes today. I said, yeah, I used to try to sell them myself. Good stuff, isn't it? Tell you what, we're just full up today. Got all we need. Thanks. I'll take the free sample. God bless. Have a nice day. Hey, I used to try and sell that stuff. I know the line. Potato brushes were free. You remember you scrub potatoes? Always give those for free one. That's the door breaker. My sales were not impressive, believe me. I gave away a lot, didn't get much. So if I were home, she really didn't have to face that, quote, temptation. I went, hey, what's going on? Insurance, apples, knives, whatever you're selling. Thank you, appreciate it. Good stuff. We really don't need today. Have a nice day. And so when temptation comes to Jesus, his righteousness is there. Lord, you answer the door. Your righteousness. Let it can't get by the sinless righteousness of God, and I keep that up there. I don't care how I feel. I don't care how pressing the temptation is on you. I don't care how overwhelming. It may make your mind feel dull. It may feel like you're halfway there. No difference. It's in your will, not your emotions. And you plead the blood of Jesus and his life. Lord, I put your righteousness there. Lord, you're there. You answer the door. I don't have to go. Don't talk with me. Go see my master. Don't talk with me. I don't have to answer it. Go see the Lord about it. And I'll hold that there and go on my way. And that's why he's given us his life, so that when temptation comes, he's made a way of escape through his son. Now, you may have to flee the friends you're hanging with. Just, you know, I've said it before, I'll say it again, the old Chinese proverb, he that lies down with dogs will rise up with fleas. And you may have to escape some friends. They're trying to pull you down. You're going to hang with them. You're going to smell like them. You're going to sound like them. You're going to talk like them. You're going to swear like them. You're going to tell dirty jokes like they do. You're going to get drunk like they do. You're going to go to bed like they do. Flee. They know where you're at. They want spiritual help. They know your address. They know your phone number. You're not superior. Just God bless, fellas. I'm out there. I've talked with enough salesmen in this church on their routes. You don't think the barfly is trying to put a move on them in the hotels? Hey, there's a gang of guys going out after the sales meeting. One of our men says, come on, we're going down, we're going to have a big beer bust. Take it easy, guys. I'll see you tomorrow morning. Go up and do some reading. And look at him, and he walks away. Weirdo. They respect him. But for some, that guy, what a, he doesn't have any fun in life. No, he has more than that. He has joy in life. And he walks away. Don't expect a big popularity vote from these people. They may respect you and like you. You just be kind and firm, and that's who you are. And you may have to separate yourself from that. You do a good job and do it well, and some places won't fire, they won't keep you because you got to be a party boy. You got to be a party boy to get a promotion. I know that, and you know that. It's pure politics. Not all the time, and not every place, but many times. You're going to go the higher you go, you got to play the game with the boys. If that means chasing women, then you chase women like they do. If it means this, it means that. And if you don't play the game, they say, I don't think I'm going to promote this guy. So be it. No temptation has taken you, but that is common to man. And God is faithful to give us his son's life to meet the pressure of the temptation, either of our own appetites or of circumstances out there or the inclusion of some demonic power to make the thing feel even stronger. The breastplate of his own righteousness, because his spirit is in us with the intrinsic righteousness of God. I mean, it can't get by. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way of escape so that you can stand up under it. Daily appropriation, I don't care if it's a half hour appropriation. And I have to understand, just like you do, look, I'm just like you. I've got a need in my body that I've been looking to the Lord for a long, long time, years. And it hasn't gotten through yet. And I've done everything I know to do, except I know what I've got to do now, and I'm just like you. You say, well, you got to lay hold of the Lord. You say, well, how do you lay hold of the Lord? I'll tell you how I lay hold of the Lord. I don't know how you lay hold of the Lord. One way I can lay hold of the Lord, and I have to come the same way you do, is I'm coming to the Father in heaven who is faithful. He is faithful. And I am meditating on his faithfulness. Now, for me to get a half hour quiet time, I have to do the same thing you do. I have to choose to do it, number one. Number two, something else goes so this can come. You never get something without letting something else go. You have that choice. I don't care who you are. Going to college and seminary has nothing to do with it. I come before the Lord and I say, and I start to meditate. And I say, Lord, you are faithful. I look at all these verses on the faithfulness of God. If you've got a concordance, you just open up to faithfulness and start reading all the verses underneath the faithfulness of God. And I start soaking in it. And I say, Father, you are faithful. I'm so glad you're faithful. You're not trying to be faithful. You are faithful. And then yesterday, I was meditating on this, and I went back to the early years of my life. And I began to trace the faithfulness of God in my life since a child. Up through college and seminary, through the times in the military, when his hand was as pronounced as that noise. I didn't know it then. I thought, I'm getting the brakes. Man, I got the brakes. Hey, Murdoch, how'd you get that duty? Big stuff, man. Big stuff, nothing. God's in charge. The times I could have drowned and didn't. The times when he kept me from going to this church, I was nowhere ready for it, and he bumped me over and closed the door. I said, no, he didn't say that, but he bumped my circumstances, and I went all through my life seeing the faithfulness of God right up till now. Now, I didn't do that in 30 seconds, say, okay, God, get with it, because I got to watch the late news here. Hey, you make your choice. You make your choice. I don't care if it's late news, early news, no news, good news, bad news. You got to make a choice. I got to make a choice. And I said, Father, you're the faithful God, and I remember this and this and this and this and this, the faithfulness of yourself. And I'm right up to today, and you haven't changed, and I have a need, and I'm so thankful for your faithfulness, and you're going to give me a light or a key on this thing so that I'm going to listen to you till I have a continuing impression from you as the key to my problem in my body. That's how I lay hold of God, by memory. By preparing my mind, by soaking in three or four verses on his faithfulness, meditating on it, and then laying myself open before him, calling to remembrance his faithfulness down through the years, knowing that each victory will help you some other to win. What did David say when he came to 9-foot-6-inch Goliath? The Lord hath delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the mouth of from the paw of the bear and the mouth of the lion, and he will now deliver me from this one as well. Why? Track record. Boom, boom, boom. God didn't give him Goliath the first time out with a flock of sheep. And so if you recall in your life the goodness and the faithfulness of God, I mean, sit down and do it in your mind. Recall, you'll find confidence in God and blessing and gratitude rising until you say, he's the same to this very moment. He was faithful to me. I don't always understand why he handles certain things certain ways, why he permits things. We'll come to that with the wisdom and the sovereignty of God. But he's faithful. Every ounce of God is faithful. And therefore, with joy, I come before you, Lord. What do you have in mind? Obviously, Lord, I'm not getting the signal on this. I've taken my normal approaches in prayer and supplication and deliverance. I'm not getting there. Now, what do you have in mind, Father? I delight to know in faithfulness. You're going to show me something. That takes time, desire, faith, and a good memory of his goodness. And there's no shortcuts. If he wants to give an instant revelation, fine. But the process of laying hold of God that way or in the way you do is the process whereby, and I shared this with the office the other day. I read it. I think it was Kierkegaard. And I can't give it word for word. I wish I had it word for word, but I didn't plan to speak it. But I'll share it with you the best I remember. The more that a man prays, he says, the less he has to say. Because as you pray on through, either A, faith is quickened and there's no need to pray, and that's a true side road which I'm not going on. But the more a man prays, he's prayed through what he wants to talk about, and God will then bring him to silence. That's probably even on the other side of groanings and strong tears sometimes. And then, said Kierkegaard, from speaking to silence, he then takes him another step, which is counter-opposed to speaking. And that is, he becomes a listener. In the spirit. So how does God say to you? Impressions that stay there in accord with the Word of God. Some idea that comes, you see it, that's it. Now, I want to come to the point, and I'm getting there, it's not too hard, because I've done a lot of talking and a lot of praying on this, and I think God's saying, okay, I'm to the point now, I've done my talking, I'm getting to silence, and I'm to the point of listening. I want to bless him and remember his kindnesses and his mercies and his faithfulness. And now the Lord knows my heart. I don't have to rehearse to him all my life. I do it for my blessing, for my heart, for my faith, not for his. But that's okay to do that. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember the good things that Moses said. Remember how he brought us out of Egypt. Remember how he gave us manna day by day. Remember how he split a rock and gave us water. Remember how he raised his hand and took you out of the Egyptians. Remember, 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 remember. Not bad. Now, in the case of remembrance and faith, and we come up and pray through, get there and say, now, Lord, I'm a listener. What am I doing? Where am I missing it, Lord? And the Word of God, I don't know any place where either we don't get the word of healing or word of explanation. Unless you've sinned against God and you don't want to hear from God, then your sins have separated you from God. He won't talk to you. Repent and get right with God. And it's in those moments and in those hours and in those times that you come to know God experientially for yourself. I had kind of a little minor experience the other day. I wasn't going to mention it. I'm going to show you something. The other day I took my annual 9-year physical checkup. And I felt pretty good, you know. I felt I was in good shape. And do 2 or 3 push-ups in 3 hours. I mean, that's not bad. So they put me on the treadmill, jacked it up, and I got up to 161 in my heart. And boy, I was really puffing away. He says, can you hold on? I can hold on. And another 20 seconds, yeah. I was on 11 minutes, 12 minutes and 10 seconds. You know, they keep cranking it higher and tighter. And on the way down, it wasn't doing right. And he said, I don't like what's happening here. Now, I'm all healthy, so don't worry about me. Just keep praying. He said, you got a wrong beat on the way down. He said, I want to give you to a cardiologist. I went home to my wife and said, I got something that's not good and it's not bad. I said, they think I got something wrong here. They think there's a blockage in there. And I really don't want to be a candidate for having a zipper the rest of my life. I've seen those men skewered that way, and it doesn't look like what you want to do on Saturday afternoon. So I had some of the elders pray for me and some folks, and I said, look, I got to go back in for this thing. And it's a little thing. It just came to me. I went back in, and by the grace of God, because you prayed for me and God's kind and faithful, I mean, I'm hardly ever sick. Tired, yes. Sick, no. I can't remember the last time I'm sick. Just so infrequently, just the mercies of God and the prayer faithfulness of you dear people. And I wanted to get the thing over with and find out, hey, am I looking at a heart blockage or I'm not? So I went in for the second time, and they got me on the old treadmill. And I'd been working out before that, so I'd do real well, you know. Convinced them there's nothing there. I did a dumb thing the day before. I shoveled 2,000 pounds of stone. You know me, I'm a weekend athlete. Then I became a weekend cripple. And I thought, well, it'll be okay. I'm tired. My heart will go quicker. And it didn't. My legs gave out long before the ticker was saying, give me air, give me air. But I walked in, and for the first time in a long time, I felt terribly dependent as I walked in, physically. And I saw a familiar face. I said, hi, I'm going to have a heart exam. I said, that's all right. I'm going to have a heart exam. Did you hear me? You know what major surgery is? Anything they do to me. And I thought, well, surely they'll come over and say, "Oh, Pastor, well, what's going on here? Hey, look, they see heart. They got people coming through there all day having heart tests." Right, right. What difference is little Elmer comes through with a heart test? I mean, there were 25 guys through yesterday. But I thought, hey, I have a need. I mean, I'm going to have my heart. I could have open heart surgery. Do you guys understand that, don't you? I mean, you've got to understand that. No, I didn't have a big sign out saying I'm a candidate for heart surgery. I didn't have a sign. Inside, I felt that way. And there wasn't much response back to sympathy for little poor me. Oh, my poor baby. You know, I'm going to tell you something. And it came home to me in a small echo. Whatever you need, you better receive it from the Lord yourself. And that's what the Lord meant when he said, have salt within yourself. What are you facing life with? Did you hear Gordon's wife, Barbara, last week telling you when I got out there in Italy, I didn't have my home church in English. I didn't have my Sunday school class. I didn't have mom and dad. I didn't have all my Christian friends. It was my husband and I and God, and I realized I have got to get something from the Lord. And that's how God expects us to approach life, that the sufficiency that you need in every temptation is for you, from him, in you, yourself, if nobody were there. Let's stand. God is faithful to call you. God is faithful in the time of temptation. God is faithful and just to forgive. If you are tempted today, if you're fearful today, if you're anxious today, if you're discouraged today, if you're persecuted today, God is faithful. And if you have to be reduced to the faith expression of Job himself, though he were to slay me, yet will I trust him. The ultimate of faith. Then that's why Job could walk it alone. God knows there's no one else with him. And we look up to our Heavenly Father, who is faithful. And if you've been looking at your circumstance or your body or your need or your finances, you can get discouraged real fast. Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved, completed, fulfilled, shalomed, saith the Lord. And as you meditate on the faithful God, faithful is he who promised, faithful is he who called you, who also will do it. For you have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. We keep looking to our God, our faithful God. Whatever your need may be today, then you be prepared to come and begin. Look to God with you, but within yourself, you're developing your own walk with God, your own meditation time whereby you bless him and worship him. And we're going to sing closing, and you come while we do, just the chorus of Great is Thy Faithfulness, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness, morning by morning. All I have needed. Don't be bashful, don't be ashamed, don't be embarrassed or intimidated. If you need to make that commitment of faith and time of meditation on the Lord again today for a new start, he is faithful. My trust is in the living God who made heaven and earth and all that is therein. Great is his faithfulness. Faithful to me. Trace your life. See where he spared you death. See where he spared you death by accident or sickness or some sniper's bullet in the rice paddy in Vietnam. Or Pork Chop Hill, or Tarawa, or Normandy Beach. Listen to your mother's story and remember when she said you lay there an infant, your fever was 105, I thought we were going to lose you. Listen to the folks that said to you, the doctor said you should have died. But you lucked out and came through and said, no, I didn't luck out. The faithfulness of God. If you have not yet repented, he's faithfully calling. If you're a child of God, come and express your faithfulness to him. Love him and bless him for it. Say, working all my life, I open myself up, Lord. Give me that word of wisdom that I need. I'm believing you. I'm going to sing one more and we're done. Come if God's laid a burden of need on your heart. Elders will come too, that they may pray with you. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Now may grace, mercy, and peace from our precious, faithful Father be my portion and yours each day of our lives. Faithful to call, faithful during temptation, faithful to forgive, faithful to judge. And all God's people said, amen. And we'll see you tonight at 6. God bless.